It is good to see you. Someone said, better to be seen than viewed. Amen. All right. And it is, Lord's good to us. Amen. That song, I don't know if you know the history behind it. And so Horatio Stafford, they kind of went through the fire, literally. They were in the Chicago fire. And I don't know if it was they were vacation or what the deal was. Honestly, I don't know. Family. But nonetheless, his wife and daughters, they got on a ship and headed to England. Well, there were problems, and his wife sent a telegraph back, and he received it, and he said, basically the telegraph said, I'm here. And our girls are not. And as he was going over to then to meet with his wife, the ship he was on board, captain came to him and said, this is the spot. Your daughters are here. And he wrote that song, It Is Well. Amen. And so, good, good, good. The Lord is good to us. And tonight, we aren't we living in exciting times? I don't know if you are news watchers. Honestly, I've not been a news watcher. I really have not. But as of late, I've just taken maybe a keen interest in it, just the things that are happening around us, not just in this nation, but all over the world. Just amazing the things that are taking place. And I wrote this some time ago. I need to write the second part of it, but if you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 16, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. I got to have coffee with your pastor the other day. We were supposed to meet at 3 o'clock, and at Starbucks up here on the hill. And my wife, she dropped me off at 3:15. Well, I walked through the building and I thought, much too cold here. So I walked outside, found me a shady spot right outside, found me a nice comfy chair, and sat down for just a few moments, and within just a tad, it was nice and warm, and I went to sleep. Well, I didn't see the text that your pastor sent me. Saying that he was not going to be there at the appointed time. In fact, he didn't show up for 30 minutes after the appointed time. I sat there and went to sleep sitting in that chair at Starbucks and slept for 45 minutes. Right? I didn't wake up. He woke me up. All right? And so who knows how many people come by and say, here, that's a nice looking, homeless person there. But I tell you, it was a good sleep right there in the heat. Oh, man, I loved it. All right, it was great. All right, it was good. But had a visit with him and Pastor Tilly, right? Tim Tilly? Okay, so it was good. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And again, probably very common verse that many of you know. But it says, we're going to start a little bit earlier than that. Let's start in verse 12. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, we ask that you bless tonight. Again, thank you for these dear folks. Pray for a preacher and family. Lord, you give him a wonderful time there with his folks there in Alabama, and pray, Father, that the severe weather is past and just give them a great time together, relaxing and also just being with his family. Just Lord bless him, give him safety as they travel, and we thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to look tonight at salt, all right? And I'll get back to the news here in just a little bit on that thing. Lord tells us here to be two things. We're to be salt and we're to be light. Salt is a substance. It's something you can hold. It's tangible, all right? You can see it, all right? And we'll look at some other things about salt here and some of its qualities. Light, on the other hand, is not tangible. Right? Light is an energy, and energy is light is something that cannot be made, and light is something that cannot be destroyed. Okay, you know, it can be harnessed, it can be used. Okay, and once we use electricity, it's not gone. It's just that it needs to be harnessed again, and then it can be reused again. Okay, but salt is a tangible substance. We're just going to talk about salt tonight. We don't have time to do both. But salt is an interesting substance. It's made up. It's a compound. All right. It's made up of two things. It's made up of sodium, and it's made up of chlorine. Okay. Sodium is a kind of a grayish soft metal. You can actually squish it between your fingers. All right. You're going to want to make sure your fingers are really, 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 really dry because sodium reacts violently with water, all right? Very violently, okay? It's explosive, all right? So if your hands are sweaty and you smush them between your fingers, you would probably not have to worry about those two fingerprints anymore, all right? Okay? It is very violent stuff. Soft gray metal, and if you look at it on a periodic table in chemistry, it's way over here. At the top, right? And things that are over there at the top, they can be pretty violent, all right? And then the other substance that it's made of is chlorine. Chlorine is a green toxic gas, okay? And it lives way over here on the right-hand side, okay? And these things over here and these things over here, they like to get together. But this compound of sodium chloride is interesting stuff, all right? Once they get together, they don't want to be anything else. They just want to be sodium chloride. They don't want to be any, they don't like to mix with the other things, just sodium chloride. And you know, I thought about that. Sodium and pretty violent stuff, and chlorine, pretty violent stuff. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, okay? Every one of us in this room are sinners tonight. Amen? We're all sinners. And the truth be known, the things that every one of us sitting in this room tonight, the things we have thought, okay? Jesus said if you have regarded hatred in your heart, you've already committed murder. Now, we look at murder and say that's a violent act, all right? Well, it is. Well, Jesus said that even the thought of hatred is as violent as the act of murder itself, all right? And the things that we think, the things that we've said, the things that we've done, and the counterpart of that, the things we've not said, the things we've not done, and the thoughts we haven't had, but we are all sinners, and every one of us tonight, we deserve to spend eternity in a crisis eternity in hell. Saved, even though saved, praise the Lord for that, we're still sinners. We are. And sinners can do some wicked, wicked, wicked things, all right? Saved people can do some very, very wicked things. But I thought about that. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, October 23rd, 1975, I became a new creature. Not because I'm good, because I'm not. There's none good, what? No, not one. I'm not a good person, all right? And my wife, she can say amen, all right? She tells me I'm strong and handsome and all those kind of things, but she knows me pretty well. And Yeah, sometimes she says, I'm just not, how come you can be so mean? All right? I'm a sinner, and I apologize. But I'm glad that when I trusted Christ as my Savior and the Holy Spirit came in, I became a new creature. And you know something? Nothing's going to change that. I'm on my way to heaven. Nothing's going to change that. And I can't change that. The world can't change that. You can't change that. And the Lord's not going to change that. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, that I might be saved. Amen? And so I think of salt in that sense, the fact that I became a new creature. But salt is very, very stable. All right? It's stable on a table. It's not going anywhere. But salt is, it's been in history, it's been around a long time, and salt is in still some places on the world is still used as money, all right? It's some of the Middle Eastern countries today, salt is still considered a very precious thing, and it is used with money. But the word salt, where does it come from? The Romans used that word salt. So there was a Salarian Argentinum, which was salt money. Roman soldiers used to be paid in salt. And the word salad means salt on leaves. Sal, which we use in Spanish, all right? Salsa, okay? Comes from the word sauce or comes sausage. Salt and bread is customary for hospitality. Anybody here like pretzels? That is salt and bread. And by the way, the little cutesy little thing was that was, you know, thing of hospitality that was given. Via Salaria, the Roman salt road. We use the term, that guy is not worth his salt, okay? Has to do with trade slave. He was not worth the salt that I would pay for that person. That's where they came from. Here's a term we use. He is salty. What does that mean? He's kind of spunky. He's tough, all right? Rubbing salt into a wound, okay? The difference between life and death or injury to insult. An old salt, we would say. That person is an old salt. The person's what? Wise, experienced, seasoned. And in Matthew 5:13, it says, salt of the earth. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Salt of the earth. As I mentioned a little while ago, watching the news, there's a group out there. It's called the Antifa group. And I don't know if you keep up with it, if you even know what it's all about. I'm not going to describe what all that's about. But just recently in Portland, Oregon, some conservative folks were out there trying to, you know, just encourage some folks to come along and listen to what they had to say. And some Antifa people showed up, and it turned brutal, all right? It turned very, very, very brutal. And those Antifa people went after those conservative people. And we would say that those folks were persecuted. You know, I've seen lots and lots of things on the political scene where the conservative side is being beat up by the liberal side, and the liberal side, they're being beat up by the conservative side, and they're saying of each other that they're persecuting each other. And in the case of the Antifa people, I mean, they're persecuting them with sticks and clubs and rocks and bricks, and it's pretty bad. You know, I got to thinking about that. As I look at Paul and I look at some of the disciples and I look at folks that Paul persecuted, folks that were Christians prior to Paul's conversion, and those folks were persecuted to death. I just finished reading the book of Acts this morning, and Paul, as he's standing before magistrates, and he's telling folks, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and And I was very zealous about my work, and I went out into the areas and was finding people and having them incarcerated and even having them sent to death. And he said he put his life into that. He persecuted those Christians. And then Paul, after his conversion, Paul got persecuted often, all right? And so I'm looking on the political scene today, and I know we read things about things that's happening to Christians, not in this country, in other countries. As I read in scriptures, it says that we will come under persecutions. I think that's still in the future. But I see persecutions happening in this nation on the political scene. I don't see persecutions in this nation happening on the spiritual scene. Why is that? Why is that? Maybe we need to be salt. Maybe if we were salt, we just might see that. And look, I am not saying that I am just looking forward to this. I'm not. Look, my flesh doesn't like being uncomfortable. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be attacked. I want to be, left alone. I do. But at the same time, as we read here in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, we are to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the light of the world. The world is in a mess tonight. I think we'd all have to agree with that, right? The younger generation sitting here has no concept of where we've come in the last 50 years, last 30 years. It is astounding where this nation is tonight compared to what it was when I was Randall's age. How old are you now, bud? When I was 14, I'm telling you, the world was a different place, very different place, okay? And yet, the world was in turmoil. This nation was in turmoil when I was 14. We were right smack, full-blown in the beginnings of Vietnam, all right? And so Students for a More Democratic Society. They would show up at our high school on Fridays, and they would come there for peaceful demonstrations, and they would say, go set fire to the trash cans in the bathrooms. That's very peaceful in the school, okay? All right? But anyway, peaceful demonstrations. Some of us can remember Kent State and all that. Yeah, we were in turmoil. But I want to tell you, it's the world is a whole lot different than what it used to be. The world is different today than what it used to be. By the way, how many of you can remember where you were 50 years ago this coming Friday? Anybody know what this coming Friday was? Okay, that was the landing on the moon, all right? Okay, I remember where I was at, okay? I remember who I was with, and remember the weather, everything. It was just fascinated by all that, okay? I can't believe they did all that in a building in California someplace. But anyway, all right. But I'd like to look at salt tonight. What are some of the things that salt does? Turn your Bibles to Psalm 25. I want to look at verse 20. Psalm 25. And if you get there before me, you can go ahead. Psalm 25, I'm going to start reading verse 20. And it says, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." The world is in trouble tonight, I think, because, folks, we have not been the salt and we've not been the light that we should be. You know what the world's doing tonight? They're just doing what just comes natural. And except for the grace of God, we would be right in there with them. We'd just be just like they, all right? They're just doing what the natural man does. But salt, as we've read here, salt does something. It preserves. We talk about our heritage, and we talk about our American culture and those kind of things. We're really kind of in a cultural revolution right now. We really are. We have made some huge, we're making huge transitions to what we, the old ways and becoming to the new ways. Folks, as Christians, we need to preserve some things. We need to preserve this. Amen. Okay? Listen, what's happening here tonight? We need to preserve this. Okay? My wife and I, we're in places where the church is under full-blown attack. All right? And we could say, you know, there's attacks on the churches right now, but you know what? Nobody is under the attack of blood tonight, not in this country. Not for being a Christian. All right? And so God's word and God's people ought to preserve the things of God. Amen. All right? So salt does that. Salt is an excellent what? Preservative. Okay? It just does an excellent job of that. Salt does something else. Psalm 34 and verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is what? Good." Amen. And blessed is a man that trusts in him. So not only does salt preserve, but salt seasons. And anybody here like salt? Okay. Anybody here addicted to salt? Most Americans are addicted to salt. Okay. And anybody here on a salt-free diet? All right. And they have salt substitutes. You can have what? Potassium chloride. Okay. I don't think I want to do the potassium chloride thing. But I, for a long time, I was addicted, absolutely addicted to salt. I had a serious salt addiction. You say, what? Nobody can have a salt addiction. You're looking at one, all right? And my father, I inherited something from my father. I inherited the inability to smell, all right? And the inability to taste. I have almost zero sense of smell, and I have about 99% lack of taste. I cannot taste things. Okay? And by the way, smell and taste are associated with each other, all right? But I don't have it. It's not there. Father didn't have it. And so as a child, in order to taste food, all food tastes the same. My wife, I tell people, I say, you want to go out to eat? And she'd say, sure, where do you want to go? And to me, I could care less. You know why? It all tastes the same. And I tell her that. And in fact, it does. All right? Do I have some favorites? I have some favorites because I like Mexican food because I can. And I tell them. I go to the Mexican food place and I said, you know what? I can't stand your food, but boy, I like your hot sauce. And it's not because I can taste the hot sauce. I can feel the hot sauce. All right? And you can't make it hot enough because that's how I get my range of taste. But anyway, as a child growing up, in the last 6, 7, 8 years, I suppose, when I would get my food, I would get the salt shaker before I even taste my food, and I would salt it till it glistened. And that's the only way I could taste my food, was that salty taste, all right? Today, I've been on thyroid medicine now for 30 years. And my thyroid medicine, I have to go get blood tests every 6 months, and they would increase it and increase it and increase it. I was taking thyroid doses more than doses that they even made. So I was taking multiple thyroid pills in order to keep my thyroid up. One day, you know, my wife, she just constantly, you know how wives can be. We know. And so I finally, I said, okay, that's it. I'm not ever picking up another salt shaker. And I have not ever picked up another salt shaker. All right. Do I want to? Yeah, I want to eat this box of salt. Why? Because I like it. And the other thing is, you pray for me. Pray for my wife. Pray for us both. My wife has made potato chips contraband in our home. Okay. How am I supposed to get my salt fix? All right. We had some friends. Hey, that's it. Just invite yourself over to my house anytime you want, because she'll go buy potato chips. Yes. For them, not for me. Anyway, I would use that salt to season. Folks, we need to preserve the things of God, but we need to give this world a good taste of who Christ is. We need to give this world a good taste as to what this is tonight. You know, the world has a seriously bad taste for what we call Christianity. I had a girl walk up to me yesterday. She walked up and she said, "Are you a Christian or are you Catholic?" You know what? She had it right. She really did. By the way, I grew up Catholic, so I'm not bashing anybody. I know exactly what she was asking me, all right? And, yep, is there a difference? Yeah, huge, okay? One's trying to get themselves there. The other is I'm being taken there, not because of myself. But we need to be seasoning. Well, I was telling you about the thyroid. When I put the salt shaker down, I went down to get my blood test, and the doctor, he said, "We need to take another blood test." I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Something's seriously wrong." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Your thyroid's off the charts too much. Something's wrong." I said, "You know what I think it is? I think it's the iodine in the salt." I said, "I haven't picked up a salt shaker in months." He said, "Ah, it can't be." I do believe that was the problem. But anyway, and I would go, he knocked it down. I'd go back for another blood test. He'd knock it down. I'd go back for another blood test, knocked it down. Now I can take thyroid like normal thyroid takers. Anyway, okay? Salt. So I'm no longer addicted to salt. Amen. Okay? But we ought to be salt. And we ought to be a good taste to the world out there. Have you been to a fast food restaurant lately? Have you noticed how the people behind the counter, how often they can be quite blunt, quite rude? You ever want to just get right back in their face? You ever feel like doing it? Yeah, me? Yeah. Part of that's my age, too. Okay? You hear people and you go out and maybe you're standing in line or you're somewhere and you hear conversations of people and the vulgarness, the crudeness, the rudeness, the things that comes out of people's mouths in public. And they don't care who hears it. And they don't care what they say. You know what? We need to be salt. We not ought to take part in those kinds of things. And we ought to be salt as we go in our workplace. And we ought to be salt. And some of you have family members that are lost. My wife and I, Lord willing, are taking a working vacation here in a few days. And we're going to be around family who is lost. They're not saved. They're not Christians. And you know what? Sometimes they're just trying to get a dig in there every once in a while. We need to guard our mouths. We need to guard our attitudes. And we ought to just be salt so that those folks have no cause and those folks have no reason to look down at our God because of our attitude, because of our behavior. We need to give a good taste of Christianity out there in the name of Christ. Well, what else does salt do? It cleanses. Psalm 19, it cleanses. Now, this is kind of rough, but if you ever have a wound, all right, and they say rubbing salt in the wound, all right, they did that for a reason. They did that because this will, medically, this is an excellent, excellent cleaner. But you think, you know, when I was a little boy, iodine was the ticket, okay? And if you got a boo-boo, I mean, the first time you got a boo-boo, you know, they take you and they put iodine on you. That stuff is liquid fire, okay? Now, some of the older folks in here knows exactly what I'm talking about, okay? They put iodine on it. So thereafter, the reason they did that is because they knew that the next time you got hurt, you weren't going to say a word, all right? And they didn't have to deal with you anymore. I think that's really what was behind, the whole motive behind all that, okay? And then they come up with something called methylate, all right? And it didn't burn near as bad. But I remember putting it on, okay? All right? But salt in a wound, that is some serious burn, all right? But salt does cleanse. And, you know, sometimes the saltiness of the Word of God in a wound of our own hearts, a wound of our own making. Some people, you know, some folks want to make, you know, church, you know, just everybody's lovey-dovey and happy-happy and something good's going to happen to you today. Can I tell you that the gospel is offensive? The gospel is very offensive. You know why? Because if we're truly honest with the gospel, we are sinners, and nobody in this room wants to ever look at themselves in a bad light. That simply goes against our human nature. But in Psalm 19:12, it says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from what? Secret faults." We sing a song, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And that's not saying, you know, look around, you know, if you find something. No, he'll find something. We just need to be honest with ourselves. But salt cleanses. It preserves. It seasons. But it also cleanses. And we need to let the Word of God cleanse our hearts and our minds. We need to do that. And also, we have an opportunity to being these things. As God said, we are to be salt. We have an opportunity to be that in lives of other people. Jeremiah 8:22. We do spend quite a bit of time in Australia. It is amazing being out in the world, in meeting folks, not just Australia, but a lot of other places we go. They say, "Oh, so you?" I have fun with them. So they say, "So you're from the States?" I said, "No," and they look at me and they said, "Canada?" I said, "No, I didn't say A," but anyway, they said, "Well, where are you from?" I said, "Texas." And oftentimes it catches them, Texas. And they'd say, "Wait a minute, isn't that one of your states?" I said, "Well, we kind of think of ourselves as being our own country." But anyway, I said, "We don't claim those other folks up north there, all right?" And but anyway, they find out from their states. And once they pin that down, then the first thing out of their mouth says, sometimes they're very derogatory about what they have to say about our nation. Very derogatory, especially about our president, okay? And we have a situation on our border, and as of late, it says, "So what about that wall?" So it's easy just to cut the chase. All you have to say is, all I would say is, you know, "Yep, and I hope it's finished when I get home." Anyway. That conversation's over. But they don't like us anyway. But you know, people who would despise us for being Americans, can I tell you, people ought to despise us first for being Christians. If there's persecution coming, it ought to be that before it is something political. Amen. All right? And so next thing is salt heals, Jeremiah 8:22. It is a healing product. There is no balm. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? How many of you ever taken salt water and gargled? Why do we do it? Because it what? We know it heals. Amen? All right? And so not only does it preserve, not only does it season, not only does it cleanse, but it heals. And salt is incredible stuff. There's one thing left that salt does. It's the thing that we think of most often that salt does. And if we could learn this point about what salt does, all the other points would fall in place. Salt produces thirst. It does. It makes people thirsty. Every one of us have eaten too much pizza. And what happens? Middle of the night, you're up for what? Looking for a glass of water. Why? You're dehydrated, okay? Because of the salt. It produces thirst. And the Bible tells us that we ought to be quick to answer any man the hope that lieth within us. When was the last time somebody came to you and asked you, why are you so different? I think that would happen when we become a preservative. I think that would happen when we become a good taste. I think that would happen when we become a healing factor and a cleansing factor. I think that would come. But salt produces thirst. The other thing about salt, and I asked when we first started, how many of you are addicted to salt? We like salt, okay? And I don't know if you're label readers, but you read labels, all right? Probably the number two things that you see in the ingredients in high amounts is, if it's not sugar, it's sodium, all right? And why do they put those both in there? Both are flavor enhancers, that's why, okay? And salt. How many of you like salt on watermelon, all right? Why do we do that? It makes it more watermelonier. Anybody ever put sugar on watermelon? Okay, all right. Growing up as a kid, we'd sprinkle a little bit of sugar on watermelon, all right? Why do we sprinkle sugar on strawberries? It makes the strawberries more what? Strawberrier flavor tasting, okay? But it's a flavor enhancer. And so not only does it produce thirst, but it also is something that is craved. We need to be that. Why aren't Christians today doing a better job than that? As we read here in Matthew chapter 5, it says, if salt has lost its savor, the Bible says that it is good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden under the foot of men. In other words, it's not salty anymore. How does salt become unsalty? It's diluted. If you put salt in a glass and you just keep adding water, it becomes less and less and less and less salty. What has happened to the salt? It has been what? Diluted. Okay? I fear that Christians have become diluted. How have Christians become diluted? Well, I think it's because we have allowed our attitudes, our manners, our purchases, perhaps our speech, our friendliness, our love of Savior, love of neighbor, love of each other, words and conversations have become more worldly and less Christ-like. And because of that, Christians are becoming less and less and less salty. And Jesus said, we are to be salty. We're to do that. We're to be that. And we're to be the light of the world. The world's in a mess. How is the world going to know about salt if we're not salty? And I think all of us can sit back and maybe look at areas of our lives where we can say, you know what, Lord, maybe I'm not so salty in that area as I should be. Maybe I'm not been giving a good taste for the cause of Christ. Maybe I've not been preserving the things of Christ. Maybe I've not been a healing factor for the cause of Christ. Maybe I've not been a cleansing factor for the cause of Christ. Maybe I've not produced a craving in the lives of others, family, workmates, neighbors, friends. Maybe I've not done that. And so we need to be careful in the places we go. We need to be careful in the relationships that we have. We need to be careful in our in the places that we find ourselves. We need to become more salty in the days that we are living in and not less salty in the days that we're living in, because there are a lot of folks out there who are absolutely running to and fro looking for some answers. And folks, tonight, we have the answer. We have the answer. We have the Word of God, and we have the house of God, and you have a man of God, and you have the people of God, and you have the work of God. We have the answers. We just need to be what? Salt. We just need to be salt. And so this is the midweek, and the new week is coming up. But who should be salty? Jesus said, ye. If you're here, born again, ye means us. And when should we be salty? Always. And where should we be salty? Every opportunity that we have. And where? It's, again, every opportunity. So we need to be salt. The world tonight needs salt. Jesus told us to be salt, and then he also told us to be light. Salt is something tangible. They can see us. They can hear us. They can feel us. They can know us. And the other thing is to be light. That is a totally different thing. It is not my light. It is his light. But it says, let your light so shine. Let his light shine through you, the light of Christ. Father.
There is moral relativity. There is facts. There is truth. And there is wrong. There is right. Why? Because there's a God. That's how he created it. It all began at the very beginning. It began with a little tree called the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam took a bite of it. Caused the rest of us to know what good and evil was. And disobedience fell upon all the rest of us. You say, why did God do that? Why did he even put the garden? Why did he even put the tree in the garden? I don't know. I don't know sometimes. Okay? I can't give an answer to every single question. But I do know this, is that you got a choice. Do you believe or you not believe? All right, you don't believe? Fine. I'll go find somebody that does. I'll go on to the next person. I'll shake off the dust of my feet and I'll go to somebody else. I'm not here to argue. I'm just here to tell you, God is a God of grace and mercy and love and peace and desires to save you. Do you believe that sinners will die and go to hell without Christ? Do you believe that you're only saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and his wonderful resurrection? Is the Word of God the Word of God or not the Word of God? What do you believe? What is it? What is it? If you do believe those things, then don't let somebody else's unbelief shake your faith. Charles Hodge said this, and this has been so helpful to me, and I want to read this quote. The success of the gospel depends on its being presented. That's really good, and we could stop there for a while, but I won't. But being presented as what? Not as the word of man, but being presented as it is in truth, the word of God. He says this, not as something to be proved, but as something to be believed. That's so good. He's saying that the gospel is there to be presented not as the word of man, but as the word of God, not as something to be proved. We're not trying to prove that Jesus rose from the dead, all right? That you could find it. I'm not trying to prove to you that there is a God, that you could find it, all right? I'm asking you, do you believe? Hebrews 11 says it very well. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. He is. That's the first requirement. They don't listen. They don't hear. Shake off the dust. Move on to the next one. Maybe they will. Cast not your pearls before a swine. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Move on. Move on. And real quickly with this application here too, I'll say this. The application flows out very well here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 5 and 6 also, that whenever thoughts, vain thoughts enter into our minds, wrong thoughts, vain thoughts, evil thoughts, ungodly thoughts enter into our minds, prideful thoughts, let us cast down those thoughts. Let's get rid of those thoughts. Let us take those thoughts and put them into captivity and lock away the key. Lock the key and throw away the key. Lock the door and throw away the key. And then take revenge against those thoughts of disobedience. Go against them. Don't allow those thoughts to persist in your mind. God wants us to be vessels that are fit for the use of the kingdom of God. And may God help us as we confront criticism to cast out pride, to cast out carnality, and to cast out false and wicked imaginations. May we defend the gospel ministry because, my friend, it's worth defending. It's worth defending. It's worth standing up for. It's worth it. And you know what? It's powerful. It's powerful. I don't need to read the verses again to you, but it's there. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do we believe that? May we practice that. Father, we thank you for what you do. We love you. Thank you for the gospel and the gospel ministry. Now help us as we look to you and love you. Help us, Father, to believe these words. And may God, the power of Christ, rest upon us through the Holy Spirit and the demonstration of God, demonstration of the Spirit. May we not rely upon fleshly words of man's wisdom, but may we rely upon the power of God and your wisdom. Well, thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.